Hello and welcome to the Pixelated Realms Gamescast, your guide through the digital landscape, untangling the mysteries of your favorite titles and discussing the latest and greatest in video game fun. I'm your host, Alex Salerno. Alongside me is my brother Tyler and my good friend Dustin. What's up, guys?
Hello. Hey. Welcome back, everybody. Great to be here. Looking forward to talking about some games.
Yeah, there's always something to talk about.
What he said.
Well, today we're going to be talking about season passes, and is it time to retire them? Are we over season passes and the seasonal kind of content rotation? But first, we're going to talk about our weekly recap, where we go over everything we've been playing and just, you know, discussing news in the video game world. Then we're going to discuss answer some questions from the community, and then we'll go ahead and dive into our big segment. So, you guys ready? What's going on?
Take it away, Tyler.
All right. What is going on in my life? Well, Warhammer's still going on, although I'm sure our viewers are sick of hearing it. But to keep things tied into video gaming here, I've still been
playing
a lot of...
We're changing the name to the Warhammer podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be the Warhammer... noob podcast. But that's not a bad thing, because Warhammer has some really great video games. I've been playing a lot. I've been continuing to play a lot of the Warhammer Rogue Trader RPG game, continuing to be incredibly impressed by the amount of variation, the style, the general, like, characters in general have just been really impressive and really how do I put it, like, immersive, as far as, like, you know, really representing, like, the whole array of different factions in the game. Been really enjoying that. And then the other part of my week hyped me up last week about Space Marines and
the game.
So Space Marines the game, which we talked about, the second one that's going to be coming out in September, that looks like groundbreakingly good.
Yeah, really excited.
And so, having not played the first one, although having seen gameplay footage, I was like, you know, like, $60, like, I understand why, like, people are a little upset the game's $60. It's pretty old now. It's over 10 years old. And I was like, this is never going to go on sale. And, like, I want to beat it before the second one comes out. So I bit my tongue. I paid the $60, and I am really glad I did. It is, like, for a game that came out in 2011, it could have came out like 3 years ago and I would have never noticed. It is super crisp. I mean, looks wise, like, no, It is not a 2024 game looks wise, but like it's easily looks like it could be like a 2015 game, like, right out the gate. Like, it was very good looking. And I got to just say, like, and I actually specifically wanted to talk about this week, is it's just a good old fashioned fucking game, man. Like, like, and you might
just
say, like, Tyler, what do you mean by that? And I mean, like, during the days of, like, you literally just drop in, you're a space marine, you hop out of the helicopter midair, you blast through to the enemy ship, you come in with a gun, you blast, it's like Doom, right? Where you're just blasting, you're getting upgrades, it doesn't matter if it, like, even makes sense, like, it, and they're just throwing enemies at you left and right, you're a one-man army, and it just feels like good old-fashioned gaming to me. Like, it's just like,
where they think, what's cool,
I'm a god. Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether or not it makes sense. They're like, what would be the coolest thing in this situation?
I'm just a badass space marine with a horde of army just to kill at my pleasure. And, like, doesn't mean I haven't died, like, I do. But similar to Dune, and I obviously don't have time to go into too much detail, but similar to Dune, you regain your health through executing. So it's
Doom.
All about diving in and being in the middle of the fight, or you're literally going to die. So I've been really impressed so far. I'm gonna beat it, and even more so looking forward to the second one. How
cool.
About you, Dustin?
I thought you guys were talking about a completely different game, Space Marine, and then I looked it up right now and it's Warhammer, and I'm like, god damn it. So
yeah, of course it's Warhammer. Everything is Warhammer
right
now.
You guys are truly obsessed.
What we were talking about last week is that Space Marine 2 is coming out in September, and so we had to talk about it a little bit, because that game is going to come out, and we're hoping it's co-op, so we're hoping it's going to come out and, you know, be really fun.
I don't think that's need to be a Warhammer fan to be excited about Space Marines 2. And honestly, Dustin, you should watch the trailer after our episode today because it looks freaking awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I'll check it out, I promise.
I'll send it to you every day until you watch it.
I will. So I guess it's my turn. No new games for me this week. I have not been playing video games as much as I should be, sadly. Make me big sad. But I am going to talk about a new week and yet a new Stellar Blade controversy. And so I'm sure most viewers know the game came out on the 26th, much to the surprise of the anti-woke crazies. The game reviewed very well. It's got like a mid-80s Metacritic. But now the anti-woke crowd has latched on and turned its back on Stellar Blade after being a huge advocate because they covered up some camel toe in one of the designs. So if you guys aren't aware, Sony or the developer, whomever, decided that there was two outfits that Eve wears in the game that were just a little bit over the top. So one was like a very deep cut, like a one piece bathing suit, basically, that literally showed camel toe. And that got patched out, and they added some lace over her chest, so it wasn't as revealing. And the other one was like, kind of like another like one piece outfit. I mean, they all are, but it was very graphic on her chest, and they kind of covered that up a little bit, so it was a little bit less graphic. But you can literally still play Eve in her skin suit, which is basically naked. Like everything is like skin tone, so it looks like she's literally running around without clothes on. Except covering up like the vitals, you know. But yes,
so people are upset
because of these two changes. They're up in arms, signing petitions about how the developer came to censorship and no censorship in video games is okay. And y'all need fucking Jesus because
signing they're literally signing petitions over this.
Yeah. Jesus, I just love it's like sign this document. Well. Is that actually going to do anything? Well, no, but it's...
No.
It's amazing how much effort people put into things like this. Like,
it's crazy.
If you're putting that much energy towards this kind of hate, there's something you need to rethink how you're approaching things.
I think that's literally what I said last week. You need to take a look at yourself and figure out what's going on because... It's a video game, people, and Eve is still extremely sexy, extremely sexualized, with some outfits that make her look absolutely amazing. I'm a huge fan. I am not a part – I am a part of the woke group that believes in diversity in gaming. I think y'all are fucking crazy for having that argument. Not people here, but the people that I'm talking to who feel that way. But I am also somebody that likes, waifus and big titties in my video games or anime. So it's I'm not against having those things in games. I think, if you don't like that, there's a million other games you can play. And if you do like it, great. There's games that do exist for that. So, I mean, there's something for everyone in the game industry. 17,000 games, something like that, come out on Steam every year. You know, so there's something for everyone. But it's
a lot of them are... NSFW story games. So if that's for you,
there's dating simulators, with girlfriend, girlfriend dating simulators, if that's what you're into.
Yeah.
You know, there's something for everyone in video games. So it's if you like it, great. If you don't, there's something else. But it's dude, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? This doesn't make sense. And it's embarrassing. It is literally embarrassing.
They're out
in
themselves.
You're embarrassing all the whole race of man. You're just embarrassing us.
I know. It's this really small subset of people that are that have a very strong voice for some reason, and I don't know why. And it makes everyone else look bad. They're you're outing yourself
it's
as
the vocal
these
minority,
incel.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, they get that vocalization or whatever because they attack everybody who doesn't feel that way. They're very vocal. They're sending to games journalists and developers who are women or minorities, sending all this hate messages and go fucking kill yourself. And that's why they get the attention, because it's so over the top and what they're doing and wrong. And like I said, it's just been really fascinating in the last 3 days to watch that group who have been so adamantly defending Stellar Blade for 3 weeks at least, and you really using Stellar Blade as like the example of what video games should be, you know, and then now like because
I can't imagine that was an interesting argument.
Yeah, because two skins were covered up a little bit that were like legitimately over the top, even for someone like me who again likes attractive women characters in games. Like, yeah, that was over the top. Like, there's no reason to have camel toe on a character in a video game. It's just not necessary.
If that's what you're looking for, then you should go to Pornhub. Like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to, like, go one step further, if they're saying, like, hey, like, this isn't sexual enough for me. It's like, listen, maybe this, there's probably a game out there that is enough for you. But, like, we don't need every game that way. We don't need 99% of the games that way. Like,
but, guys are focusing on, like, a particular argument in this case, but it's not – they're just hijacking some particular cause to inflate a argument. Like, honestly, this feels more like politics now because it's just, like, it actually isn't about the video game. It's just trying to hijack something related to sexuality or, you know, or traditional status quo. So, like, to me, honestly, my brains aren't, like, in politics mode. So, like, I don't know. To me,
yeah, that's where it went from, right? Like, the original argument was because that – I forgot the company's name – gets hired by companies who – sorry, I'm going to, like, derail a little bit here.
Analysts
Sweet Baby,
or whatever.
I think, or something like that. They get hired by companies to see if their game is, like, authentically, like, diverse and things like that.
Sweet Baby Inc.
Yeah, Sweet Baby Inc. And then that became like you're forcing diversity and stuff into games. You're like toning down sexuality so it's more welcoming to everyone. That, and then, you know, Star Wars Outlaws has been a huge example on that side of, oh my God, the main character is ugly, which is stupid. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of it is like Stellar Blade, she's hot and sexy. And like, this is like how it should be. You shouldn't censor. Like, it should just be whatever you want it to be. So that's where the argument is coming now. So it went from like politic anti woke.
So do we need to make Mario sexy? Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, Peach at least, right? So like
only the women, and all the men should be really ugly and nasty.
Yeah,
like, but, okay, let's turn this conversation into the important topic. What is a princess like Peach doing with Mario over here? Okay, the plumber.
Hey, looks don't matter, all right? You know what I mean?
I'm just kidding. I'm being being toxic now.
He's got a stable job. You know, he's a good guy. He helps everyone out.
He's a hero.
I mean, that mustache. You know what I mean?
True.
That's that alone.
Us Italians make great mustaches.
When you said that you were going to talk about Stellar Blade, I thought you were actually going to talk about the hard R thing. Did you see that?
Oh, no, I did see that. It got patched out pretty quick. There was like graffiti or something like on, right? And I guess it's not used that way in South Korea or something. I haven't read into it, but I did see that hard R stuff.
Yeah. In my opinion, it's a pretty minor thing. And they patched it, which is the correct move. But yeah, there was like a neon sign that had the letter R. And then to the left of it, they had some graffiti that said hard. And it was totally an accident, right? And it just looks like, it says hard R, which for those who don't know is like another way of saying the derogatory N word. And, you know, instead of the version, the version. I'm not going to go any more than that.
That was fun. That was fun to watch you stumble across how to explain that.
that was awkward. Even just dancing around it is awkward. But anyways, so that's what it means, at least in the United States. And so that was a total accident. Someone brought it up and they're like, oh, we didn't know. They got rid of the word hard and now it says something else. I forgot what it says, but they changed the graffiti. I thought that's what you were going to talk about.
It occasionally happen in video games, right? It's just cultural miscommunication.
Yeah, I haven't even read it. I thought it was the actual N-word was in there somewhere. And I was like, oh, even people have been pretty tame about that. But okay, so yeah, that would be
a pretty big oversight.
It is a nothing burger. It's just, you know, they just happened to put two words two things next to each other that didn't mesh.
Yeah, but in terms of playing the game, I have not bought it yet. I will probably buy it when it goes on sale, even though I really want to play it because, like I was saying weeks ago after the demo, it's like very near, and the GameSpot review actually was like literally called out that it's like almost a, not a copycat, but like it borrows heavily, like influenced by Nier Automata. So it's like the perfect game for me, because again, that was my favorite game of 2018, I think it was. So I'll definitely play it. Beat the demo, super good. Oh, they also, I guess, have been censoring that, like tamed down some of the gore, which people are also bitching about. So it's not as gory with like the blood.
That's funny, because gore is so like, having been a Mortal Kombat player for my entire life, I'm just like, this gore is fine. Like, I don't
I don't think you need to edit out gore, but I think that editing they did on Eve's outfits was the right move. Like I said, if you want to see her bare it all, wear the skin suit, it exists. So
I'm sure there's Rule 34 out there for you.
Yeah. Did we lose Dustin? Or is that
we lost Dustin. No, we lost him.
Wait.
No, I can still hear you guys.
There? Oh, he's back. Wait. We got him back.
All right. Yeah, I said trying to connect. That was weird, because I could hear you guys the whole time.
Okay.
Super odd. But yeah, I'm sure there's a Rule 34 Eve out there. I'm looking. I mean, I want there to be some like a cool Eve statue. You know? I've been trying to find like the perfect 2B statue for like 5 years, and I had one pre-ordered that Square Enix put out for, and I ended up canceling it because I was just like, what am I gonna do with this thing? But yeah, I need to still buy a 2B figure also.
Nice.
So, Alex, what have you been up to?
Yeah. So I've been jumping around a little bit. I've still been playing Fallout 4. And honestly, I kind of take back a little bit of what I said the last like couple episodes that we've done about like some of the things. Like, I actually really like that game. And like, I talked a lot of shit. A lot of shit. But I said like certain things about the game are not very good. And I still stand by that Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3 are the better... are better in a lot of respects, but Fallout 4 is just really fun. I mean, I also have to say with the caveat that I modded the living crap out of it, but the new patch came out for it recently and had a lot of quality of life updates and stuff like that. And if you have an unmodded version of it, it's like great things. And something that I really appreciate is they added widescreen support, because before I have widescreen, but it was like letterboxed, or if I didn't letterbox it, all the UI was off. So the like background of the UI element and the actual text were like not aligned anymore, so it'd get all screwed up. But I really appreciate stuff like that. But anyway, I've been playing the game, and like I just forgot how fun Fallout is. Like, I've been going through I started a new save, going through, and like the game looks great. And honestly, the settlement stuff bothered me less than I remember it bothering me. For some reason, I remember it being like really annoying. And though I do have a mod that makes Preston not ask me as much if I want to go save a settlement, so maybe that like it went a long way.
That's like at least 20% of the annoyance. Yeah, for sure.
So the mod is like, oh, he's 10 times less likely to ask you or something. And so, you know, that's good. I also, you know, added mods to add new things so I can make my settlements like a little bit better. But I mean, I use the settlements very little. Like, I drop off my stuff, I do kind of the bare minimum, and then I go out and explore. But, you know, exploring is super fun. The game is still gorgeous, even, you know, almost 10 years later. So, loving that. I also have been playing a little bit of those Warhammer games still. So, like, Warhammer Rogue Trader, I purchased it last week and been playing that. That's still good. That's like a Baldur's Gate-style Warhammer experience. I still have to play through Baldur's Gate 3, though, so I'm, like, juggling way too many games. And then I have Warhammer Chaos Gate, which I've been playing a little bit, which is the XCOM version. Been doing that. I tried to pick up Dragon's Dogma again, and just it was just kind of like, well, I have all these other games, so that one ended up getting pushed back. But you know, something came out. I think literally today, either today or yesterday, but over the weekend, that has caught my eye, and I want to hear if you guys have heard about it. But Manor Lords.
Yes.
Has been getting a lot of buzz
about it.
I just installed it, but I haven't played it
yet. I did too, and I also haven't played it, but it scares me when I look at this game, because I was like, oh, this is exactly what I love. It kind of has a City Skylines-esque element to it, but it also has like battle involved. So it's a city building settlement game. I have had my eye on it for a little bit now. It looks like the Game Pass does have a game preview, so we'll definitely check that out and report back. But
the game preview just means early access.
Oh, really? I thought it had like limitations. No, here.
Okay. No, cool. I thought so too. Maybe I was the one who told you that, but it just means it's early access.
Sure.
So it's, okay. It's fully. But yeah, I mean, that one looks cool. So
what would be an example that this would be close to? Like what kind of previous game?
It's kind of an RTS-ish game where you're like the lord. You're the lord over like your fief. And you kind of have like a city builder, so you're building up your territory, but then you're also doing battles with like local stuff. Like I said, I haven't played it, but and I think you can go into first person and like maybe walk around as your lord.
The first thing I thought of was that game that we all played, where like you have the different countries.
Civ? Civilization?
Like, is that Civ? Where you have the different countries and you build up like your own special troops and shit, and then like you all attack each other.
I would say
Age of Empires?
Maybe, yes. I think that's it.
That's probably... I mean, I
well,
think
it's not
a little
far
different
from Age of Empires, but I would say it's more akin to like Anno series a little bit. But I think it has a bit of a unique flavor to it. So like, it's not exactly pulling from like an existing series. It's not a 4X. It's not an RTS. Mm-hmm. It has more of like Sim City, but like with some battle. So, I mean, yes, we have to explore it, folks. So we're just saying what we see from the trailer, but it looks really promising.
Yeah. It's like Tyler said, it's a little bit of a hybrid between an RTS and like a sim. So you're building up your territory, like a Sim City, City Skyline.
So the point in this isn't to overcome, like isn't to like your neighbor. Right?
Conquest. Yeah. Yeah, it's more conquest. Like a settlement. Yeah.
Less like Warcraft and more like Sims, but it does have some of those elements. So you do build up like your forces and you have to defend, like maybe even attack like nearby things. But I don't think that's the main part of the game. I think that's just like an additional thing you have to worry about, but it looks good. And it's been getting a lot of buzz online as like it was the most wishlisted game for a while kind of a thing. And interestingly enough, this is a solo dev project.
I was about to say, yeah, Slavic Magic is not a studio or a developer I've ever heard of.
No, he's a solo dev. Let me do a little research. By research, I mean, let me do a quick Google.
I don't know why, but solo devs always pull off some amazing shit. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That is really impressive because I think this game looks like the pictures look fantastic.
Yeah. Solo dev, he considers the game a city builder. Not much information on this individual.
Can
so
I
think
unleash
this is
Godzilla on
so
my account?
There's enough mods.
I mean, it looks like there's huge, like, okay, so there is, like, a big map. Like, there is clearly you progressing your army over time. It has, although it is a city builder, it has this sort of, like, that military grand strategy thing going on. We're just going to have to play more and get back to everyone on it, because it does look really promising.
Yeah, the only thing I can find out about this guy is he's from Poland. That's it.
And this came out 2 days ago?
Like, a couple days ago, yeah.
Yeah.
So, interesting, and it's on Game Pass, so let me see. It released on the 25th. So, something that'd be interesting. But it's a single-player game. Right. I don't think there's any online play at all. But
that's
fair.
If it's solo, cool. Yeah, that's not shocking at all that he doesn't have online servers.
Yeah, but you know what? We always want to, endorse our solo dev people. You know, I'm all about the indies, especially after these layoffs.
It's highly possible, like, if this game is successful in single player, that a publisher could come or a bigger publisher either buy the rights to it or probably buy the rights to it and have them build it into an online experience.
Yeah, good.
Mandalore's 2.
Let's see. It says it's published by Hooded Horse. I don't know who that is. Maybe it's a Polish company or maybe it's just a new company.
It's probably just an indie developer.
I mean,
indie publisher, I mean.
Yeah, they have a couple of games on here. I mean, okay, moving on. I don't think I have anything else. You guys got anything before we move on over?
No, let's see what Ralph has to say.
All right, well, first, if you want to say, nope, not that part. I'm getting confused. But we are going to move over to Ask Pixelated Realms. If you want to ask us a question or leave a comment, you can go to pixelatedrealms.org/ask. That's A-S-K. Leave us a comment or a question. We'll talk about it in the middle of our show, which is right now. So, as always, wonderful Ralph has left us a few questions.
Thank you, Ralph.
So, he put his name as Ghost of Tsushima Legend, which is true. Let's see. Question number one. When starting a new single player game, what difficulty level do you guys play at? Easy, normal, hard? Do you have multiple playthroughs on different difficulties? That's a great question. I love that question. For me personally, I usually play on hard mode, and it's just an ego thing, I think. And usually because it also, I mean, I'm not going to lie to myself and say it's not, but I also think that it comes from, like, I've been gaming since I was like 5, and I kind of look at those difficulties and, like, I'm like, you know what? I've been playing video games for so long that, like, I should challenge myself and be on these harder modes because I can, and I know games so well that, like, I've tuned my skills to the point.
Challenge Alex has Buzz Lightyear, where he's just like, years of academy and training wasted. He doesn't play the hardest.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, I have all this experience. Why wouldn't I use it?
I am Mrs. Nesbitt.
Yeah. Also, if there's achievements, then I start on hard mode because I want the achievement, and there's almost always like a difficulty achievement. As for playing through multiple playthroughs on difficulty, I only do that if there's an achievement associated with it. So usually then I'll start on hard, even if there's a harder one. And then if the next level is an achievement, then I'll play through again. Or if there's like a new game plus and you can like bump up the difficulty. But that's not true for all games. Some games I do play on normal, like Horizon. Like if there's no reason I should have it on hard, then I'll play it on normal. So, like, for instance, like Horizon Zero Dawn, I play that on normal because there's literally no benefit to playing on hard. Most games have, like, if you play
other
it on hard
challenge
mode,
challenge yourself and show your skills from learning from 5 years old.
Yeah, some games that's worth doing, and some games it's just like I'm just delaying my experience. Like if it's just getting in the way of me playing the game, then I'll lay it back. It depends too.
So
if it's like a
what
linear,
difficulty do you play Dark Souls on?
There's no difficulty.
There's no difficulty.
Is it just the? Isn't there just
there's
one?
Only one.
That's why it's Dark Souls.
That's the controversy, is that people want a difficulty, but that there isn't any. It's always just hard mode.
For me, so this is completely the difficulty I select is completely dependent on the type of game, and I adjust that pretty substantially. Well, maybe not substantially. For the most part, if it's a game I'm really experienced at, like a game like a CRPG. Like Baldur's Gate or the Rogue Trader, those games tend to be their difficulty is based off of modifiers, right? So if you do normal mode, it might be 0% modifiers. If you do hard mode, it might say 50% increase on enemy health or 50% of the amount of enemies is increased or whatever, you know? So when I am given that information, I will always choose the zeros. So I choose the zeros because this is the experience that the developers are saying is the most balanced, so to speak. And that is especially true if I'm unfamiliar with the game's systems. So if it's like a Final Fantasy game, although they don't have difficulties until recently, I know Final Fantasies like that I know them all. So I'm just going to take the hardest difficulty. I took the hardest difficulty on Final Fantasy 16 and I felt like it was way too easy. Same with Final Fantasy 7 remastered. Way too easy for me. But like I said, I would rather prefer to experience the game as the devs want me to experience, unless I feel like I'm extremely familiar or that the game is just going to be too easy for me to enjoy myself. I almost never pick easy unless I really just feel like going and smashing someone in the face, or I'm not going to lie and say I haven't like switched difficulty to easy to get past something I was just really stuck at, but I do try to avoid that nowadays. But yeah, for the most part, I will choose normal or a harder mode. And if it's a game I really, really enjoy, like Mass Effect or Cyberpunk or really, you know, like RPGs that I can dig my teeth into, I'll go the hardest mode for sure. Mm-hmm.
For me, like, it doesn't matter, like, what type of game it is. Because we're all gamers. I feel like I can, like, learn that style no matter what. I always pick, like, that difficulty that says, like, enjoy the story, but, like, challenging combat.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think it's, like, either, like, one step above normal. You know, I'm not sure. That's how Spider-Man the Spider-Man gets describe it. It's like challenging combat. Those who want to be challenged, you know, but not like the most difficult, but like the kind of like the one step down. So that's usually where I aim. One thing I actually really loved and was a cool feature in Nier Automata actually is you could scale your difficulty in real time while you're playing. So like, for instance, there was a boss fight and I did not buy enough like potions or whatever the fuck it was called to beat that boss. And like, once you start the boss fight, it literally, like when you die, it starts you in the boss fight. So like, I was like, I don't know what to do. I cannot fucking beat this. I've tried like 40 times. And in that moment, I actually realized you can actually scale down the difficulty while you're playing. And I moved it down one, allowed me to get past that fight I was stuck on. And then I moved it back up. And I thought that was a really, really cool feature because it allows you to play the majority of the game in like that harder mode. But then if there's just something that like either like you fuck up like I did and you didn't bring enough like materials to beat the boss, or like even if you do, like you're just struggling so bad that you're just like either I quit the game or I start over at a lower difficulty, it allows you to kind of like get past it, you know? So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, in certain cases, I think that's cool, too. I mean, I was just thinking about it a little more. For me, it's like, I think about it two ways. Like, the hard mode is, like, usually what I'll pick because I want a challenge and I want to stay interesting. But if I go to the extremely hard mode, whatever they call it, I think I need to know and utilize every single mechanic that the game offers or I'm not going to succeed. If I know in that game I don't understand and utilize every single mechanic that is offered to me, then I know I will not succeed. And that's how I judge like a good challenging hard mode. Like when you play the hardest mode on XCOM 2, I don't remember what it's called, but like if you do not do everything perfectly, you're going to suffer. I mean, you're going to suffer anyway, but if you do not utilize the mechanics perfectly, you are not going to succeed. So that's how I think about it. If I know the mechanics perfectly, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pick the hardest mode because I know I can play the game, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Where I have with like a Spider-Man, because like Spider-Man, like there are so many fuck, especially in Spider-Man 2, when you have both characters like all the time, like it is, there are just so many different moves that you have to learn if you want to master all of them. For like, I just can't fucking remember that many different movesets. Like, so I'll pick like five that I'm really good at or I like, and I'll just basically use that, like, you know, that subset of like moves. But yeah, if I was playing on the hardest difficulty and there were just certain things where like I needed to be able to utilize throwing guys in the air and then like being able to just do the different moves that Miles or Peter does, yeah, I would be fucked because there's just too much like for me to be able to grasp all of it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to, basically. I don't want to sit there and learn like 50 different fucking moves. So,
yeah, and I think it definitely depends. Like, that's been kind of a theme that we've been talking about. It depends on the game, clearly. Like, if it's a game that you're like a genre you're good at or whatever. Oh shit! I just lost my train of thought.
Good. Let's move on to the next question.
Yeah. Okay. Next question, but from Ralph. He said, it's funny because he in the naming section he always puts little comments. Now it says, "Do I answer my own question if I'm on the episode as well?"
Yes.
The answer is yes. If you could get your hands on any retro gaming console / game, what would it be? I like this question personally, actually, because I've been collecting cartridge consoles. So I actually have the Super Nintendo, the original Nintendo, the N64, and the Atari 2600. So I actually already have a lot of the consoles. The one console that I'm missing that I want is the Sega Genesis.
Hmm.
And as far as like the games go, I have a lot of the big ones. Like, I have all the Zelda games for each console. I have like the original gold cartridge for the NES. I have the Super Nintendo version. I have the N64 games and
stuff
like that.
That's not the question, bitch. The question is, which one would you get?
Which one? If you could get your hands on any game, what would it be? E.T. E.T. for the Atari.
For the Game Boy or Atari.
No, for the Atari. It's what's considered the worst game ever made.
Worst game ever.
Yeah. All right. What about you guys?
Video games?
I would take like Ocarina of Time and an N64 just because it's such a unique system that you know, it's hard to replicate.
That was going to be my answer, or I was going to say N64 with GoldenEye. So I'll go with GoldenEye.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Next question.
All right. That is it for our questions. So we're going to move on to our main topic. But before we dive in, we just want to say that we really appreciate everyone who follows and subscribes to us. We post new episodes every Tuesday morning on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms. So now we're going to dive into kind of our main segment. But I do actually, I kind of wanted to bring this up in housekeeping, but I kind of forgot. So we have been having a little bit of technical issues the last like month or so. And I do apologize for that. Our last episode had some desync issues. A few episodes before that, we had a few mic issues. And sadly, there's nothing we can do about it. It has to do with the app that we're using. And I've opened up a couple of support tickets and we're trying to figure it out. But we know that they're happening and I apologize. We're working on trying to figure it out. But that being said, let's move on to our main segment here. So I've been wanting to talk about this since we started the podcast. And so I'm glad we can kind of talk about this a little bit. But is it time to retire the season pass formula? Season passes, I think they kind of started with Fortnite, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
That was like one of the, it may have existed before that, but I think they were the first ones to really like take it to the next level and make it more common. And it's, you know, for those who aren't familiar with it, the season pass is like a reoccurring, maybe like every like 2 months or so, or every 3 months, you can purchase a pass that will allow you to progress for that month and unlock things. But something that like a negative about it to me is that you could say purchase that battle pass or season pass and not play the game. And when it's done after the time limit, generally speaking, you lose everything that you would have gotten. So you've just wasted all of your money. And there's a few exceptions to this, and we'll talk about that a little bit, I think. But I think, you know, I bring this up. I was the one who dropped this question to us because I think it's time. I do think it's time to retire the season pass. I think the season pass was an attempt at getting rid of loot boxes. Right. So like that kind of came around the big time, like when Overwatch and all these like EA games and stuff like that were really heavy into the loot boxing. And then some countries came out and said like, hey, like this is basically gambling because it's a chance to win a valued item. And so there were some laws around like loot boxing and so in certain countries. And
now
so
you just reminded me Counter-Strike.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. So they came up with the idea of the season pass, where it's like, well, you still kind of have like a chance to win because you have to progress. You have to like actually, you know, play the game to unlock the items, but you're paying up front and you can see what you're going to win ahead of time. But my argument is that I still don't think it's a great way. I think it's purely for profits and I don't think it benefits gamers at all. And I think that corporations, you know, big corporations, you know, the EAs and whatnot of the are just trying to basically like squeeze every dollar out of people as possible. And I think as gamers, we should start saying like, you know, vote with our wallets kind of a thing and say like, hey, this isn't working. This isn't what we want. We're not getting the content we want. You can't just slap a season pass on a game and say it's a live service anymore and expect us to, you know, drop all this money on it. Even if usually there is also content associated with these passes as well. So like, for instance, like Destiny, if you buy the battle pass, you have access to new missions and stuff like that. But they're usually not super detailed. They're usually pretty shallow. And so I think it's time to move on. I think we need to move back. I guess the follow up to this would be like, okay, well, if we're going to get rid of season passes, if we got to monetize, like where do we go from here? I think we need to bring back expansion passes, or expansion drops, you know, like something like that. Like, I don't think we necessarily need to have this like rotation of, you know, I mean, and even if we do, we could be like, hey, these are, you know, every 6 months we'll do a new expansion or something like that. Now that's not a perfect answer. And I don't actually have like the perfect solution. Maybe there's something else that, you know, is better than that. I just think it's time for season passes to go. And I'm going to open up the floor now to you guys.
So I disagree with you completely. Not completely, but I do disagree with you. I think that some games have shown to do it really well. I think you look at like Battlefield 2042, even if the game wasn't like viewed that great, every new season they would have the pass, but they'd also release a new multiplayer map. They'd have like a new character come into the game that was playable. So adding a lot of content per season, and like they really did like massive themes around each season that, like, yeah, like I said, like new map, new part of the story, new character, and then, by the way, here's all this new content you can get. So I think the biggest problem is that too many companies started doing season passes and doing them very poorly as just a way to monetize and get more money, and like they're like shitty cosmetics, or like we've seen some that like were like literally mostly just in-game currency, so you weren't even getting like cool cosmetics at the end. It was just like, oh, here's like another 1,000 gold to spend in the shop or whatever, and maybe some people liked that. I think there was one that you could earn like free subscription, something like that. Like, well, if you got all the way to the end, it basically gave you the next season pass for free. So there's different things, but I think this falls on the attitude of the modern gamer, because the days of like Battlefield 5 or 1, games like that, where it was just like this chaotic fight with like no rank system, like you're literally just playing to play, like that system has moved away over the last like 10 years. And now we have like every game, at least multiplayer shooter, comes out with a rank system. Like, it's all about prove how good you are, get to plaque, get to diamond, whatever the fuck it might be. And even if you look at a Diablo, like, people want these season passes, or developers think that people want these season passes because the content becomes a little stale, right? And people want something to work towards. So it's like, I love playing this game, but I feel like I've done mostly everything I can. Oh, well, here's this season pass, and now if I keep playing, now there's these new things I can earn, and I want them. So I feel like it's the mentality of modern day gamers, again, of wanting like constant progression, constant like attainable things, constant content, and like this was an easy fix for them to be able to provide that without having to do like full massive expansions. Again, I think the problem is that we've seen some developers just get very lackadaisical with their season passes, where it really isn't worth it. But I think if we see companies like take a more fulfilling approach, like a Battlefield with real content coming out every quarter, it doesn't make it that bad. I think that's actually a really good strategy to use for developers, to give new content and new cosmetics, keep players engaged with new ways to earn, new ways to, like, you know, like, again, stay engaged with content. So that's my take. I think it's a good system. I just think some people have been abusing it.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I kind of agree with Dustin. I think, so just to go back a little bit here, you know, loot boxes existed before season passes, right? So games like Dota 2, Counter-Strike were among the first games that really, I mean, certainly the most popular, that started having items that had like significant monetary value among the populace, right? So you could open a loot box and get something worth $250 or more and sell it to the community. And so that's kind of like, to me, that's where it like, the origin of this like desire kind of, well, maybe not, but like this is kind of like where it was before we had the season pass. Fortnite's battle royale was the inception of the two-tiered season pass, the free season pass and then the premium season pass. And, you know, as you may know, Fortnite's a $1 billion game, so it changed the face of video gaming. And so they basically popularized that two-tiered method, and we just started seeing it injected to every single type of game possible. Now, my opinion of it is like a single-player game or anything, like, most games are not going to benefit from a system like that, and in fact, it's going to, the optics are going to make them look bad and greedy, like they're just trying to extort money, right? But like Dustin was saying, there's certain games that it makes complete sense in. The one I'm going to say I really enjoy, and I've said this on the cast before, is the way Riot does it with Teamfight Tactics. I actually like that battle pass system because, one, I'm not always playing Teamfight Tactics. So I can, if I decide to be playing for that season, I can be like, okay, you know, the $12 mm-hmm. or whatever is worth it because I know I'm going to play and I'm going to unlock content. But if I'm not playing, I also don't have to pay that money. And once again, you know, TFT is free. So I'm not even like, technically, I don't have to pay money at all. It's just an extra topping and icing on the cake to help me, you know, immerse me and enjoy my experience. Now, like, let's shuffle that to like another game that's like Skull and Bones, which is a little half and half, where it's PvPvE, mm-hmm. right? And that's a game where it starts getting confusing and you're like, well, I get it. It's a PvP game like other people. We can progress together, but it's also a single player game combo. And so it starts to muddy the waters in this really like unfortunate way where you just no longer feel like that progression is an optional addition. It's now pivotal to the game itself. Mm-hmm. So like in light with what you were both saying, like I think a lot of games do need to drop this dream they have, and it is a dream because Fortnite made billions of dollars and everyone wants a yeah. piece of that, that everyone can monetize every aspect of their game. That's just not how video games work. Some it's gonna work great. Fortnite, it works exceptionally well. League of Legends and games, you know, in their games it works exceptionally well. But most other games, no. Dragon's Dogma should not have a premium store or a battle pass or, you know, and so yeah, I think people just need to make, instead of thinking with their wallet, or the developers, instead of developing with their money in mind, they need to develop with fun in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you both bring up really great points, and I do agree. I do have good examples of season passes, and I do think that a lot of companies just take it too far or apply it in the wrong way, which is kind of what you were suggesting, Dustin, is like, I think a lot of companies do, which is like, it's a difficult position because I think that there are more companies that do it wrong than do it right.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons why I'm kind of bringing up like, what I like to see something else, because I do think a season pass can be done right. I'm not anti season pass itself. I think it's been abused. And let me bring up some good examples. Two really good examples, I think, are Halo Infinite and Helldivers 2. I think both do it really well. And Helldivers 2, that one's not as traditional in the same season pass method, but I'm going to apply it to the same thing. So Halo Infinite, though, does it, I think, perfectly, in my opinion. So in Halo Infinite, the way you can do it is you can buy the season pass. There's like an active season or whatever, and it has, you know, the typical tiers. Let's say it has like 100 levels that you can go through. And as you play through, you know, you unlock new things. The cool thing, the brilliant thing that Halo Infinite does is that when you purchase a battle pass or a season pass, you now have that forever. And you can, if a new season comes out, you can buy that pass and you can switch between which one you have active. So you're not losing the ability or you're not wasting any money from that previous one, right? So you're like, okay, I never finished that season pass. I still have, you know, 30 levels to go, but I don't feel like at the end of the 60 or 90 days or whatever that I'm completely losing that money and that value. So you can continue and switching with that. And then it usually comes with some content as well. So like,
I interject for a moment?
Yeah.
Are we distinguishing a difference between a battle pass and a season pass? Because to me, now that I think about it, a season pass is you buy and you get all of the content coming out for a season. To me, a battle pass is the progression tier.
Yeah. Right? That's a good point. You're right. I think about that.
So I think we're more talking about battle passes more specifically, although season passes play into it.
I think that a season pass or a season will have a battle pass in it, right? Like it's like they're like connected.
Or multiple though.
Or multiple. But I don't think that's as common, right? That's what I'm saying. Like that's the thing I like. So like, you bring up a great point. So I would say like Halo Infinite does have season passes because they're seasonal, they're time boxed. Well, Helldivers 2 doesn't have a season pass, it has a battle pass.
Right.
Right. So it's, you can buy the battle pass and you have it forever. So I'll talk about now, I guess, the Helldivers 2 version.
Yeah,
so
Helldivers 2. Battle Pass, hold on. I just wanted to make sure we were distinguishing.
Before we leave Halo, I do want to say, I understand why most companies do not do what Halo Infinite does. I like that Halo Infinite does that. But you got to remember, like, the season pass, really, these time passes, it's also saying, like, come play this game. It's to keep you engaged constantly. Yeah. Right? So I understand having, like, an expiration date because they want you to come and play it. It's not like, oh, I haven't played Halo Infinite in 2 years, and oh, I still have this battle pass I can do. Like, that's not the point. The developers are pointing this, and they're like, it's again, it's because gamers want to stay constantly engaged, and they're giving them a tool to. So it's obviously mutually beneficial.
I get that.
If I don't want to play your game, then you
can't force. But I have a counter to that counter, right? And so, like, I understand that point of view, but I would say that one is you can only buy the season pass during the season. So it's like you still have to play – it's still going to get you into the game if you want that season pass. And then two, there's usually content associated with that pass. I'm just talking specifically about Halo Infinite that is only available during the season. But the pass itself is available beyond that. So like, for instance, let's say they have some special game mode that you can play. That game mode is only available during the season.
Does Destiny 2 have a battle pass? I can't remember.
So actually, I wanted to talk about that because Destiny 2 is actually one of my examples of a system I do not like.
Because it's fucking horrible.
It's awful.
The season pass battle pass aspect of Destiny is 100% required to play the game. It is integrated. Not only did you purchase the game, you now have to purchase this pass to even experience it. And I just... Even if I did like Destiny 2, which I'd say it's mild at best, that makes me just not want to play at all.
Yeah, well, a caveat on that is they're actually getting rid of it because of that. So,
too late.
I agree. No, yeah, I agree. Like, what, like, I'm a big
5+ years later.
Yeah, I'm a big Destiny 2 player, or I was. I recently gave up on the game, but I have, you know, almost 1,500 plus hours in that game, and I've bought every single season pass. And the season passes are by far their worst idea. Because you're right, you have to pay for the game and the yearly expansion packs plus the four seasons in order to really play the game. And the seasons come with weapons that are exclusive to that pass. And eventually they do make them available through these like that. But you have, in order to get them past the season, you have to play raids with a raid group, which is already very difficult to get these special tokens that you can then unlock these weapons later. So it's very complicated, but they're moving away from the season pass to chapters, I think is what they're calling them. But it's basically an expansion. So you can buy like the chapter. But yeah, I agree. I mean, my overall point to this is that I think there's more games that do it wrong than do it right. Like,
yeah, I agree.
You know, like...
Helldivers does it right, though.
Helldivers?
Well, my final point with Destiny 2, really quickly, sorry, is just that in terms of bringing people in constantly, right, like driving them during that season, Destiny also has Eververse. So it's like another way that they can monetize that's not attached to Season Pass, not attached to expansion. It's just like, oh, here's even more cosmetics that you can buy just through real money only. So by driving in traffic during those time periods, more people are interacting with the game, interacting with the store, have a more likelihood to spend money on Eververse items. So, like, that's where I was kind of going with that. So, yeah, even more scummy. Like, I've shit on Destiny's system multiple times on this podcast because, yeah,
dude.
Fucking expansion, season pass, Eververse. There's so many different ways that this company is trying to extra monetize and, like, gatekeep content. And I'm okay with having one. I think if you have season passes, you shouldn't have your expansion should be free, or every single like cosmetic should be available. Mm-hmm. You can't do all three of these different ways. Like in
you
one
can't charge
game.
For
it's
the game, charge
scummy.
For the expansion, charge for the season pass, and all of them be required. Like it's
yeah,
so silly.
It's fucking super scummy. So.
And then not use that money to reinvest in the content of the game, which is one of the things that is the most maddening about Destiny in particular, is while Destiny does have a pretty consistent content drop, they're usually very shallow and they're usually like reskinning of existing, you know, things. So it's like they're not even taking all that money that they're making and reinvesting in the players of the game. I mean, I'm sure the money's going somewhere that's not just pure profit. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it is going to profit, but it's like, you'll get these seasons and they'll be like, hey, here's the seasonal mode. And it's like, one a capture the flag, you know, based mission or some shit like that. And it's like the content for that entire, you know, 16-week season is to just replay that one mission over and over again with some slightly different dialogue from the voice actors. And I'm like, so I'm paying $70 for the game, $70 for the expansion, you know, whatever later, and then another what, $20 for, so I'm paying like, let's say $90 because the base game, let's say that's not part of this. I'm paying $90 for this like year's worth of content. And all I'm getting is one repetitive mission. It's ridiculous. And
it's a slap in the face.
Yeah. And I think they know that. And that's why they're struggling, to be honest. And it's like, I think that the part that, and I know this is now all of a sudden become like a Destiny thing, because I do want to, you know, actually, I'm not going to tangent. Let's move back on to the season pass thing again, because I do want to give one more example of a bad example. A bad example to me, though, is, I don't know, have you guys played Call of Duty, the most recent Call of Duty?
No.
Yeah, so the most recent Call of Duty has a battle pass system or season pass system. And it's like the same thing where you pay $20 or whatever dollars to unlock a, you know, a tiered system. And then the thing is, though, that annoys me the most is, so one is, if you buy the pass and don't use it, you lose whatever you didn't get. I hate that. I just hate that. It's so annoying. Two, there isn't actually any additional content other than the stuff you get from the pass. A lot of season pass stuff. No, anything. Usually when there's a season pass, there's something in the game that's different, like either some new mission or a new game mode or something like that. Call of Duty doesn't do that at all. It's just purely skins and guns and stuff. And then on top of that, you can make the battle pass for an additional, I want to say it's either $10 or $20. For an additional $10 or $20 or whatever, you can make the season pass Black Cell edition, which just gives you access to the like different, like an alternative skin. So it's like you can basically, you're supercharging the season pass, and all the skins that are available in that season pass now have like a black version of it that are like cooler and has more effects and stuff like that. So it's like you can end up paying like somewhere around like $50 for this season pass for no content other than skins.
Wow.
And I'm just like, I know people are buying this thing, but like, why? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why? And, you know,
it's more like freemium gaming where they're just like seeing who will buy it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, who's going to buy 200 gems for 200 bucks? You know, whatever.
Exactly. Oh, Dustin, we can't hear you.
I'm muted. Hearthstone. Sorry, I don't want to tangent. I know we only have a few minutes left today, but people spend like fucking $60 for 50 packs like every 3 months. Like, people put like thousands of dollars in Hearthstone.
I know. How is that not loot boxes to me, right? Like, opening a pack of fake cards is the same idea as a loot box, where you have a chance of obtaining an item just because it's a digital card versus a digital item. What's the difference?
You can't buy, sell, and trade them. That's my biggest card. I did one expansion with Hearthstone, and I was like, I'm out.
I know.
if you could buy, sell, and trade, that makes a lot more sense to me. But the fact that you can't, there's no digital value, or sorry, physical value, it's tough.
The whole point is like card games, you know, not the point, but the extra benefit is you own them.
It's a mechanic of the card game, right? Like it's part of the community of
You get the issues kind of like you were suggesting earlier with Counter-Strike, where you have people that are like selling these things for like $1,000 that's just like knife skin, and then people that are rolling like thousands of dollars of loot boxes
gambling
to get
problems.
These so it's a complicated problem, and you know, I think we had some really good discussion around it. Maybe we'll touch on this again later at some point, but I don't know, to me it's a tough call, because like I agree with everything you guys have said, and I do think that season passes have a place. I just feel like that they have been abused more than they've been used correctly. And I feel like a lot of like executives, probably not designers or whatever, but the executives just go, one, money. You know, wait, this is an easy way to, this is a really easy template for us to use to monetize our game. And then two, they can falsely say it means it's a live service. And live service is very much a buzzword right now. And, you know, we've talked about live services quite a bit on this show. And so they're like, oh, we're a live service game because we have a season pass, which means we drop content on the regular. And it's like, is that what that means?
I mean, yeah, it's just, hey, we need to continue making money off of this video game that we invested $3 million in, right? That's it. Mm-hmm. They just need to have continual income to pay their people. And I understand that. Like, I get it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I work for a business, too. I mean, but you just need to do it smarter. And it can't just be a default on every video game. So, you know, that's my closing remark on it. You know, mm-hmm. do smarter season passes and battle passes, not more.
Yeah. Dustin, got any closing remarks?
No, nothing.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and end it there. So if any of you have some strong opinions on season passes, feel free to drop a comment or go to pixelatedrealms.org/ask and ask us a question. We would love to hear from you guys because I'm sure this is something that we're going to visit again. But until then, thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to be notified when we post new episodes. We post new episodes every Tuesday morning on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms Podcast. Thank you very much.